Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In order to understand and live our Catholic faith, we have to be open to how God constantly turns things upside down in order to turn things right side up. He is going to surprise us. There are going to be many paradoxes, which at first will seem like contradictions, but in fact are precisely the straight line that God wants us to walk. Today in the first reading, we heard Sister Catherine read for the only time in the two-year cycle from the prophet Nahum, three little chapters. Today's the day, and I'm sure you were hanging on the edge of your seat saying, "Finally, we get the seven of the minor prophets." I know, I was with you. But in here, we see a huge shift. Begins talking to Judah, which had been pummeled. "See, upon the mountain there advances the bearer of good news, announcing peace. Celebrate your feast, O Judah. Fulfill your vows. Nevermore shall you be invaded by the scoundrel. He's completely destroyed. The Lord will restore Jacob's vine, the pride of Israel." Judah, even though you feel like scum at the bottom of a shower, you're going to be raised up. "Oh, and you, Nineveh, capital of the strong Assyrians, woe to the bloody city, all lies, full of plunder, whose looting never stops. I will cast filth upon you, disgrace you, and put you to shame, till everyone who sees you runs from you, saying, 'Nineveh is destroyed. Who can pity her? Where can anyone find consolation for her?'" Mary would say in her Magnificat that the Lord lifts up the lowly and tears down the proud. And that's not the way the world works, but that's the way salvation history happened. But obviously, in order for that to occur, there is a moment in time that's preparatory, where the earthly proud ascend, and those who are blessed by God descend, so that the Lord's able to work that mystery and show His power and His glory. A similar paradox takes place in the Gospel today, which Jesus says something that should shock us, because we've heard it so many times. Its power sometimes can be lost. The rough edges of it seem to have been smoothed by the century. But if we were hearing this for the first time, it would be totally shocking. Yesterday, we had the scene in which Jesus took his poll. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And after Peter confessed him to be the long-awaited Messiah, the one who would come on the mountains of Judah announcing good news. And not just the Messiah, but the eternal Son of God, something that only God the Father through the Holy Spirit could have let him see, because people could have deduced, because he was doing all the signs that the Messiah was prophesied to do, that he was the long-awaited Christ, but that he was divine. was something different, even through all the miracles he was working, like calming and walking on seas. It would have been much easier and safer to deduce that he was doing that by the power of God the Father than by his own power as God. And so after that great Christological confession and Jesus' petrological foundation, "You, Simon, are now rock, and on this rock I will build my church," we get to this gospel. Jesus said yesterday that the way he would reign as Messiah, the way he would fulfill his love as the Son of God, was not through pummeling the Romans and every other empire. It would be through living in his own flesh, this way by which God the Father exalts the humble and tears down the proud. He said, "No, that I am going to be betrayed by the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, and be killed, but on the third day be raised." And that's when Peter said, "No such thing will ever happen to you, Lord. Never. We won't allow that to occur." As if Jesus needed a pep talk. As if truth incarnate needed someone to talk sense into him. So Jesus changed Simon's name a second time. From rock to Satan, to the great diverter, to the great tempter. And he gave him a very important command: "Get behind me. Because right now you're trying to lead me, and you can't do it. Get behind me and follow me again. That's where you're going to be able to fulfill your purpose." And as shocking as that was, that the long-awaited Messiah was going to be crucified by the Romans, that the Son of God would actually die, how they would have been able to conceptualize that, who knows? And then on the third day be raised from the dead again. Jesus says something even more shocking today, and it hits us straight between the eyes. "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself." And that word "deny" is the same word in which Jesus says, Peter said about Jesus, "I do not know the man." Doesn't mean just give up potato chips. Means deny your being in a sense. Deny yourself. "I do not know the man because I'm so focused on knowing Christ and the power of his love. I do not know the man." Deny himself. Pick up his cross. And again, we didn't pick up the cross as a little mortification by which we could grow in holiness. In the ancient world, to pick up a cross meant to pick up the instrument of your brutal execution. It would be strap yourself into an electric chair and plug it in. That's what Jesus was saying. "If you wish to be my disciple, you need to be willing to die on the cross, and then you can follow me." Wow. The power of that should never be lost. For any of our loved ones who are suffering, it starts with their uniting themselves to Christ on the cross. We would want, out of love for them, to prevent their pain and suffering. But Jesus says that's the way. For ourselves to grow, to become more Christ-like, it happens through the school of the cross. On Monday night, when we had Sophia's baptism, we began the whole ceremony with the sign of the cross marked on her little forehead. Because the essence of the Christian life is to learn that wisdom that the world can't grasp. And for us to see that, we have to understand probably the most important thing we'll ever learn about the cross, which is the cross is not fundamentally a sign of pain. It's not a sign of suffering. It's not fundamentally and foremost an instrument of torture for a Christian. That the cross is a sign, an instrument, and a means of love. The love that makes even that much suffering bearable. So to learn the school of the cross means to learn how to love through it all, even to the point of death. So that's why Jesus will say, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Better translation there is to give it, because that's what it means. If we want to save our life, we've got to give it away. We've got to give it out of love for people. But whoever gives his life for my sake, that person will find it and keep it to life eternal. If we wish to have it all, Jesus shows us the way. If we try to retain our life in order to gain something, Jesus takes it and does a reductio ad absurdum. Even if you could gain the entire world, but would lose your life because you're not giving it away, if you're just focused on getting, you'll lose it. It's only the one who follows me and giving his life as a ransom for the many will retain it into eternity. This is the way Jesus will exalt us in our humility, because the cross is born out of love will make us humble. The one who shows us this is the one who gave us that wisdom in the Magnificat, whom we celebrate today as we mark the anniversary of the dedication of the most famous and liturgically greatest church ever dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. On this day in 354, a shocking miracle happened in Rome. The previous night, a Roman patrician named Giovanni had a dream in which he saw snow falling on the Esquiline Hill in Rome. If you thought it was hot and humid in New York last week, that's nothing compared to summers in Rome, where I would go through 2 black shirts a day because they would be full of the salt of my perspiration, and I'm not a big time sweater. August 5th, on the Esquiline, it snowed, just as in accord with Giovanni's dream, and he knew that that somehow implicated him. Pope Liberius was also told in a dream that someone would come offering something for Our Lady. And that's when the two of them met. And Pope Liberius went to the Esquiline and, as tradition says, traced out in the snow in August the outline of the first church to Our Lady. About 80 years later, after the Council of Ephesus had proclaimed Mary as the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Mother of God, Pope St. Sixtus III and his archdeacon, the future Pope St. Leo the Great, built an extraordinary church to Our Lady, which stands to this day. It's a monument to salvation history. There are over 40 mosaics going across around the church from the 400s, detailing from Abraham to Moses to Joshua to David to Solomon how everything would lead to the triumphal arch in which this Theotokos would give the world its Savior, and on that triumphal arch foretell his eternal triumph. It was there that we've got the image of Our Lady Salus Populi Romani, before whom Pope Francis always prays before and after his visits, the salvation, the health of the Roman people, which has been miraculous so many times in saving Rome from plagues, saving Rome from fires that were destroying the city, saving Rome even from the German plans to bomb Rome into the Dark Ages in August 1944 when they were pulling out of Rome, only to have a very thick storm come to Rome and the clouds so thick that the German Luftwaffe thought that they were destroying the city center when they were bombing the enormous cemetery of Campo Verano. Mary's constantly working these paradoxes when there's faith, because she was the one who lived most these words. From the Archangel Gabriel to Calvary to now, she was denying herself. She was picking up not just the cross, but picking up her son who would pick up that cross. And she was following him interiorly and exteriorly all the way until she was standing at the foot of the cross with her own heart being multiply pierced. But the reason why she was capable of doing that is because of her love, because of her willingness to give her entire life to God and to others and now to us, so that we might follow her on this same trajectory. As we come forward to this Mass, this is the means by which we recalibrate our life every single day. As Jesus Himself, with the body that He gave on the cross and the blood He shed for us and our salvation, says to us anew, "This is My body, this is the chalice of My blood, given and poured out of love for you." This is the time where we meet Him at that level and we say, "Jesus, I'm denying myself and getting out of bed early, denying myself and my own human desires for material goods or for my own way, for even the beautiful goods of marriage and family. This is where I deny myself so that I can affirm You. This is where we, like Mary, pick up the cross as we pick up Jesus, so that we, as Simon and Jesus together, can bear our cross in tandem. That yoke, He said, that if we take upon our shoulders, we will learn from Him who is humble and meek and find rest for our souls. And this is where we follow Him each day and together with Him, walk with Him unto eternity. It is Jesus indeed who deals both death and life. And today we ask Him for that double gift, that we might so die to ourselves that we will be able to say, like St. Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gives His life for me." This is the essence of the Christian life. And it's our gift.